I'm Travis.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Emily, and you're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. We are serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
This week, the gang's all back, new reviews, early tea list started, all the keeps and releases you could ever want, and a fantastic interview with longtime friend of the show, Stacy Whittem, about her first moorhen and hunting in general and how she's gotten into it. You're going to love this. Coming at you right now. What's new, Nate?
What's
Where
new?
Where the F have you been?
It's just been... I've had a busy couple of weeks, really.
Really?
Really.
Pressing deadlines in the woods?
Pressing. Absolutely. You know, got to get out there. If you don't get out there, what are we even doing here? But I am back with a shirt on.
That's a lie.
No.
Let the record show that Nathan Paul Henderson has a tattoo of Animal from the Muppet Babies in his shirt.
Oh, gosh.
Can I just read our listeners the text that we got the last time we were supposed to record? Because it's one of my favorite Nate texts.
Please. Please.
Sure.
He says, "Hey, guys, I just realized I typed out a whole text about recording earlier because I wanted to hunt this afternoon and I didn't send it. And I got frustrated that y'all didn't text me back. But now I'm hunting."
Nate is like the wife that gets mad when she dreams that you like looked at another woman or something.
It made me laugh out loud when I got that text.
Yeah.
Because it's such a Nate thing. I had
a text typed it out, and you know, you think you hit the button to send it, and you didn't. We've all been there, done that. And so I'm like, dang, they haven't texted me back. Well, I mean, I'm going to go. I've decided I want to go, so I'm going to go. And
I'll show them.
And then I get in the stand, and I'm scrolling through my phone, and I didn't see that your text message was like near the top. Like when you send a message, right? Everything kind of goes to the top.
Yeah.
I was like, oh crap, are you serious? So I scrolled down and looked, and it was still sitting in my little area where I'd written it and I hadn't sent it. So so that was a facepalm moment for me. But
that's honestly a Travis move, really.
Totally.
That's the kind of thing that I do probably three times a week to people.
It gets worse though during hunting season. Like this is the time of year where he'll leave the doors wide open when he leaves the house. Like
yeah.
It just so absent-minded because he's so focused on hunting. So.
I'll kill some ducks, but I will.
Right.
Everything in my house will be gone when I get home.
Right.
Right.
Including
right.
my wife.
I have nightmares about it, honestly, because there's been so many mornings that I've woken up and the front door's wide open and like me and the children have been asleep in the house.
Right. Right.
Anyway.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to do better.
This is your moment. This is your what's new. I just jumped in.
No, I mean, that is my what's new. I'm back in black and ready to rock and roll.
We're glad to have you back.
What's new with you?
What's new with me? Oh, we have new reviews. Hold on. Nice.
So many new reviews.
How do I always get caught with my pants down for this segment?
Don't think that's appropriate for the little ears in the car.
Well, it's an expression. It means, you know, like if someone walks in the bathroom on you.
No, that's
why you're going potty.
Oh my God.
Hold on. Scrolling.
You are an editor's worst nightmare sometimes.
Okay, here we go.
Speaking as...
Oh, we got two new reviews.
I know.
Oh my gosh. I love our listeners so much.
Let's hear them.
I don't know what this means.
Let's hear them.
Okay, the first one is from Mike Infantry.
Okay.
Mike Infantry?
Mike Infantry is his name.
That's not a real name.
That's his name.
This reminds me of that song. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the
Are you
going to
read the review?
I may never fly or the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Are you going to read the flipping review?
Mike Infantry gave us a 5-star review entitled Stay Woke. One of my favorite podcasts. Don't forget your boat plug. And one of the things I love is the art of a typed text. And he put a space before every exclamation point.
Why are you picking on extra
emphasis.
Yeah. Also, that was you can pick on that dude all you want because that was a pretty savage attack directed at me, I feel like, about the boat plug situation.
Yeah, duh. Because everyone that listens to this show has been in a boat drowning with
I'm
you at
gonna
one
say
point
this.
In their life.
I'm going to say this on the record. I have not left the plug out of the boat in over a week.
That's pretty
Over
cool.
a week. That's a new record, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. It's been at least a week, maybe even like 8 days since I've done something like that. So y'all just all settle down out there in podcast land.
Cool. So the other interview is from J Fury 5. We know who this is.
Sure. Yeah. John Fury.
Heck yeah. He was featured on our last conversation.
That was a great interview, by the way.
Did you listen to it?
Yes. It was so good.
How good was that interview?
I listened to the first half of it. I'm still working through it. It was so fun.
Emily basically unsubscribed to us. But seriously, Nate, airboat wrecks.
It had everything.
Bumping alligators while they're pulling fish counting nets.
Yes, stepping on alligators, wrecking airboats, blowing up fish, like a little bit of everything.
It was everything. And he goes ahead and brings in some human dimensions and wildlife management and doctrine of public trust and just drops some of that. Boom. Here, let me throw this at you.
Just throwing it out there.
Oh, by the way, let me just toss you some of this and also crash this airboat.
Like, I think I learned more about doctrine of public trust in that hour than I had in my entire life.
Yeah, it was big time. So I was super proud of that interview. And it was hopefully we could have John back on because everybody loved that podcast. It was like a big time. So
it sounds like with stuff. All the life that guy's lived, we could have him have a segment just every Tuesday, like the John Fury 5. And he gets 5 minutes to talk about anything he wants.
We could just have the John segment and have John Fury or John Cooper, or we could find another John. Somewhere.
Oh, that's interesting.
And just have them come by and tell us things that are
smart. You could
smart.
Do it where I get to interview the smart people and you could call it. Okay, let's
don't like that.
Let's finish this review. He used some southern slang in his title. He says, "Yins are the best." That's Ewins or y'all. For anybody who's not from the South, Ewins. 5 stars. If you want to learn about the outdoors, fishing, hunting, conservation, and more, then this is the podcast for you. Great information delivered with insight and humor.
Wow.
Thanks, JFury5. We love you.
I love that. That made my day.
He's sweet.
Super sweet. What's new with me is...
Oh, what's new with you, Trav?
Oh, yeah.
Good to know that's still broken.
No, it's cool. I mean...
It's comforting.
You guys haven't done this in a while. Nate, do you see what I'm holding in my hands right here?
Duck stamps.
I got duck stamps for days. I'm making it rain duck stamps.
Flush with duck stamps.
He literally threw them in the air.
Our listeners came through so huge that I bought out 2 different post offices duck stamps and have more coming because we needed so many. So we ended up with 48 stamps, and I had people message me and say, if you need more stamps, let me know. So... if we get the opportunity to talk to more teachers or do more stuff with teachers, we will offer them stamps and we will tap you on the shoulder and let you know. Shoulder.
Right. But also, buying stamps is a good thing. So if you just want to buy us stamps, just buy stamps, then go for it.
I agree with that. But I do have a little bit of a trouble with the premise of, and I talked with our buddy Chad Richard about this a while back. And we were talking about making like an art project. How compelling would that be if like you had all the stamps on a board and you went to a commission meeting and you could hold up your thing and say, look, we sold these 200 stamps.
Right.
The problem I have with that, because I love that in concept, and I think that'd look cool on a wall. The problem I have with that is if you can put these stamps in someone's hands and tangibly connect them to it's a much more powerful thing than me collecting a bunch of stamps and just having them in one place. So I struggle with that because I love that idea. How cool would it be? To plaster like my truck with duck stamps.
Yeah. Just like the whole back window.
Veto.
And then clear coat epoxy over it. And then next year I have to go over it with more duck stamps. But it's not really moving the needle.
In 20 years you have like a 3 foot wide like epoxy thing with duck stamps.
Dude, that'd be so baller. Nice. It's funny you think my truck will be running in 20 years.
Yeah. Speaking of old vehicles, I feel like we should pay some bills.
Speaking of bills, before we get into my real what's new.
Oh, sorry.
That wasn't my what's new. There were duck stamps laying all over my desk.
Why are you not writing your content on the board?
I'm sorry.
We have a... He can't follow a process.
Listen, the Gulf... I have no idea what's going to be happening. We're recording this well in advance. And I have no idea what's going to have happened by Tuesday. But there's a chance we may have been hit by like 7 more hurricanes looking at like the Atlantic.
Oh my God. The map looks like a teenager's face.
Yeah, did you see the meme where it's like we got a whole Waffle House staff in the Atlantic right now?
I did, because you got Sally and all the names.
Yeah. Yep.
It's so perfect time of year. We've talked about it ad nauseum, but give our buddy Fletcher Hallett a call. get your insurance checked out, get your boat policy, whatever. We're going into duck season. You want to have your boat insured, house, life. He does commercial policies. So if you have a small business or if you have any size business, I guess it doesn't have to be a small business, 904-315-5812, or you can email him fhallett@hallettends.com. Emily, how do you spell Hallett?
Double the L's and double the T's. Hallett for all your insurance needs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope.
You cut Nate's yeah off.
He's out.
Okay. We're going to do something a little bit different, and we're going to try to do this a few times through the fall. But we are doing an interview for the main segment, and these are not interviews with, I'll say, quote unquote, celebrities or they're just
experts.
They might be after they're on our show.
That's true. These are regular folks in Florida, but we want to capture some of the stories and some of the experiences that we think are really neat. And so coming at you right now, we have an interview with longtime friend of the show. Actually, one of our, I think they were our first Patreon, Stacy Whittem. So she was the first patron of the show, her and Steve. And
it's quite the accomplishment.
Yeah, like you can't take that away from her ever. She has that title. But Stacy went on her first moorhen hunt, and she's been on a number of hunts, and she had her first kill. So we're going to let her tell that story. We'll come back in just a minute and put a bow on this thing, give you keep and release. Stacy, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, hi. Stacy Whittem is joining us. First, let's see, long time listener, first time caller. Can we do that? Is that like a radio show thing?
Wow. Yeah. Isn't that like something in a Tampa radio station?
Yeah.
Something might go crazy. Yeah.
Tell folks real quick, who is Stacy Whittem?
Oh, man. I'm a goofball, really. That's a big thing. I like to have fun. I'm usually the one in the group posting funny stuff. I'm a wife. I'm an only child. I grew up in Chicago, and I moved to Florida about 20 years ago. And we currently reside in Brooksville, Florida. We kind of bought our little piece of heaven up here and built our first home on 4 acres.
That's so awesome. And you, how long have... Now, Steve has always hunted, right? Your husband?
Since he was a kid, he kind of stopped, and then... I would say probably in the past 8 years, picked it back up again.
Okay. And what got you curious in it? Was it Steve hunting?
Well, it was Steve hunting. I've always been really interested in biology and taxidermy. So I always said if he was going to hunt, we were going to try to use as much of that animal as we possibly could. So if it was cleaning bones, if it was trying to... really tan some hides, process the skulls. That's kind of what I was into. And then, of course, we used it to fill our freezer, and that's what we used to feed us. So I kind of got introduced into hunting by processing venison and cooking venison and consuming venison. And just recently, I've been more outgoing to actually go out with him. I started with a small game hunt. And that kind of got my blood pumping. And I was like, okay, I think I could do this.
That was what, last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Just last year I started.
Okay.
So 2019, new hunter.
And you did, let's see, you did, I don't know if it was through Artemis or through American Daughters of Conservation, because I know you've joined both those organizations, but you've done some hunts with those guys too, right? Or gals,
yeah,
I should say.
So my first actual hunt, even before Steve took me small game hunting, I did a dove hunt with American Daughters of Conservation. So we usually do opening weekend. All of us girls get together and we all get to dove hunt. And that was an experience. Didn't really know what I was doing. Steve just kind of sent me with the shotgun and they kind of put me down and sent me in the field and said, just point that way.
So
needless to say, I did not get any ducks that day.
And then you came on a duck hunt with me last year and we didn't get any ducks.
No, but it was a great experience. I got
of course
to
it was.
Shoot a decoy.
Of course it was. Because you got to hang out with me all day and Steve.
Yeah, and I have to say, great napping boat.
Thank you. Exactly.
Yeah, you guys went out and you guys night hunt and I stayed in the boat and I took a nice relaxing nap.
So the reason we wanted to talk to you this week of all weeks is you actually killed your first animal. You had your first harvest. Is that right?
Yes, I did. On Labor Day, we went out.
Okay, so tell us what it was.
So we went out on the Whistler Coochie, and we went out moorhen hunting. So I always called them chicky birds. I don't know why. That's just something that we always kind of called them at. So when Steve told me, hey, this is what we're going to go out and hunt, and I'm like, no, we're not. We're not going to do that. But then I saw, you know, there was a need for it, so we went out, and it was probably about 9 o'clock in the morning, and we came up on my first one. It was sitting, I would say maybe 20 yards, and I took my first shot, and it was definitely an instant kill, which always helps, of course, with a first time hunter. You didn't have to see the animal suffer. And I went and retrieved it. Steve drove the boat right up, and I was able to grab it. And I brought it up on the boat, and I just kind of studied it for a minute. It was kind of a heavy situation. You took your first life, and you had to kind of sit back and reflect on it. But after that, I kind of studied the bird. They're actually incredibly beautiful birds when you pull them out of the water. I can't get over how bright yellow their legs are. I think they're also referred to as candy corn coots.
Yep.
Am I right?
Yep. If you're out of state and don't know what she's talking about, they used to be, they're still the family gallinule or gallinulia or something like that is the scientific name. And we used to call them gallinules, and then someone called them moorhens. And I think they used to be called moorhens, and now we call them moorhens again. And they look like a coot, but they have a different white patch on their wings, and they have a red bill instead of a white bill. That's the easiest way to distinguish them on the water a lot of times is what color is the bill.
Mm-hmm. And you don't really see it as often because their legs are underwater, but how bright yellow their legs are when they come out.
Exactly. They're not that white gray color like a coot's legs. So you killed him. Did it bother you? I'm curious.
It took me back a second. It didn't, because of, like I said, I didn't have to see the bird suffer. I didn't have to administer a second shot. It was a good clean kill, and I think that kind of helped me. And then being able to just take a minute, you know, Steve was really good about it. He just kind of shut the motor down. We just sat there for a minute and then went ahead and placed them over. Steve already killed two previously to mine, so we just placed them nice and neat in the boat. And then it was actually kind of funny, after I kind of got over that moment that you have, I started hearing a baby gator. And I didn't realize that there was two guys probably about 200 yards up on the river gator hunting that morning. So it was really kind of odd. We just got done gator hunting the weekend prior to that, and all of a sudden you shoot something, then you hear a baby gator going off.
I'm guessing, was it a call? Was it their gator call?
Yeah, they had a call set up. They kind of like looked at us as we were driving by to get to the, we couldn't see where they were because of the way the river bent.
Right.
And it was just kind of funny because like once you get over that moment of, I just killed something for the first time, let me sit here and process it. And then all of a sudden you hear a gator call going off. And that kind of got my blood going because of, I actually got to experience a gator hunt the weekend before. So
how was that? How was gator hunting? Sorry, I'm pivoting on you.
I'm hooked on gator hunting. I am absolutely. Anyone wants a friend to go with, holler at your girl. It was definitely an experience. Our friend had a tag out in Lake Hatchinal. So we went out the night before, and just the whole experience getting out. It was a beautiful night. It was a full moon. Unfortunately, we didn't get one that night, so we went back out the next morning, and actually to see the gators coming to you. And there's some big boys out there.
Yes, there are.
That's what gets you. You see one going, they're like, okay, is that going to take the bait? Is it going to take the bait?
So I'm going to go back to your moorhen. You killed it. Did you guys kill any more? Did you kill any more?
I did. And the second one was kind of hard for me. We did move on to another part of the river. It had a little bit more vegetation on that part. It had a lot more lilies. And it was kind of funny. We were sitting there watching a couple that ran back in. And a hawk came down and kind of spooked them out of the weeds, and they came out. And of course, waited till the hawk. The hawk got his little meal, and then he went on. And I don't know if it was like my adrenaline, but I put the gun up to get another one. I had a good clean shot, and at the last second, it moved right behind a lily. So it lay dead. Thought I got it. It was great. We pulled the boat up, and I'm sitting on the bow of the boat to retrieve it. And the minute I went to go reach to grab it, it dove down into the water.
Oh.
And I felt like the worst human being ever. We start digging through all the lilies to try to pull up and see if we might be able to locate it. Steve jumped up there, and he kind of started just reaching around. And we've seen gators in this area before, too. So I kind of got nervous when he was just kind of like, I think doing it more for me, trying to pull as many lilies out and seeing if we could find that bird. Unfortunately, we did not recover my second bird. That kind of took me back for a minute. And, you know, Steve kind of had to tell me it happens. It's something that happens. It's not the best thing that could have happened, but that bird's not going to go to waste. Something in that river system, it'll go back.
Nothing goes to waste in nature.
Nothing goes to waste. And we've seen that on the river too, but for your second bird, and you know, you always want it to be a clean kill. And I thought it was like, he played possum. He just laid down. And the minute I went to like reach, I touched his leg and it just must've been enough. And he just dove straight down.
Wow.
And, so it was kind of unfortunate for that. I kind of had to gather myself a little bit. A couple more came out. I did not shoot. Steve did go ahead and get a couple more. And then we decided that we wanted to go to a more open area to where we didn't have to really kind of fight with the lily pads. And then the third area we were at, I think it was more mental with me. The second bird got in my head, because of course you never want to see anything suffer. You know, if you're going to take a life, you want it to be instant. And if it isn't instant, you want to be able to access that bird and really take care of it right then and there.
Right.
So, you know, I probably should have stopped at that point. I did go ahead and get a third bird. We were able to recover it, but it did need an additional shot after that. And I decided at that point, I said, you know what, Steve, you could go ahead and hunt the rest of the day. I'll hang out in the boat. I'll drive the boat. You could go. I'm fine being here, but I think I'm done. I'm not done. I'm not done forever. I just think mentally right now, I'm not in the right space to where I don't want to have to keep injuring a bird.
Right.
So I kind of took that upon myself. And I think more people need to realize that, because I know a lot of people always say, push through it, it'll be fine. But some people need a little bit of time to process. And especially a first-time hunter, and, you know, I can only imagine, too, what youth hunters go through. I grew up, my family, I may have had an uncle that hunted at one point in time. I fished a little growing up, and not really until I moved to Florida and met Steve, I got more into, like, the outdoors. So it was a little something that it had to take a little extra time for me to process. But I'm really excited because early teal starts, what, Saturday?
Yeah. At the time of this recording, it starts Saturday. So when this airs, it will have been this past Saturday. So are you going early teal hunting?
Yes. Me and Steve are going opening morning. We have a little spot up here. And he's actually getting the whole blind ready on the boat. He built a whole blind for the boat. He's been running around like a mad scientist with his decoys and making sure everything.
I was just talking to him a few minutes ago about decoys.
Oh yeah, he said he was just talking to you.
So I have two more questions. Did you eat the moorhens?
Yes. So we came back. Steve cleaned the birds. I went to the grocery store. I actually made a gumbo. Well, it's not your traditional gumbo, and I'm sure some of the foodies on the group would get at me for that. It was more of a, let's just call it a soup. But I did that with some pecan sausage that we got from a store up in Georgia. And I pretty much just pressure cooked the breast. And with some okra, some tomatoes, onions, and red pepper.
And then you pull it and put it in the soup?
I actually left them. I left them chunks. So I left the breast. I kind of cut some of the larger breasts in half. And I just left them whole.
Okay. That sounds delicious.
So, and then the other night we just cooked the legs up and we pressure cooked those and pulled the meat off of those.
Made tacos?
Yeah, kind of just munching on them. We just kind of cooked them and we're just sitting there. Sitting there nibbling on them.
I have a couple of questions. I'm curious about this. Did you feel a pressure? Because I'm curious, because this is the first time you've been hunting several times. Did you feel a pressure to kill something, or like not really? You'd kind of come to grips with it would happen when it happened.
I kind of go where if it happens, it's going to happen. I didn't feel pressured at all to where like you have to shoot it. Like you're not a hunter until you shoot something. And I don't feel that's necessarily a true statement. Like it was more of like in the moment, okay, I know I'm going to have a clean shot on this bird. I feel comfortable taking it. And I'm glad I did. I'm glad it kind of played out the way it did that day. Because now, you know, when you go out the next time, it's only going to get a little bit easier. You know, I don't think taking a life is anything that should ever be easy or weighs on you too easy, but I feel like you'll be more prepared.
No, I get it. Stacy, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we can talk soon about your first duck.
Yes. I'm looking forward to it. And thank you for everything that you guys do.
Thank you.
How good is Stacy Whittem?
She's great. That was a great conversation interview that you had. And I love the perspective of like new hunters killing their first thing. Like I like hearing about that because like, you know, I killed my first animal when I was like 7 years old. So I didn't really understand it then. But hearing these hunters that are starting older and kind of have an idea of like life and death, right? And so hearing her experience was like really cool to me. It was just cool to hear her kind of process the way she went through the three different, you know, moorhens, right?
Yep.
Kind of three different experiences.
It was
cool.
I nodded my head the whole time listening to her, and I felt super validated because it was everything I experienced, like going on several hunts and not even wanting to shoot, working up to my first kill, and then that moment where you are holding the animal and you just feel how heavy, like she used that word, it felt so heavy, the heaviness of the moment. Yes, like so beautifully described. And I was talking to Travis and I said, I'm so glad this is going on our show because I think it's important to normalize that for people new to hunting, that it doesn't just, it's not like a decision like I'm going to get into hunting. You go kill an animal and you're totally fine with it. Like it's supposed to feel that way and it's normal.
Right.
Also, she's just funny to me. Like the way she talks, like I feel like she could replace me on the show. No sweat. Like,
oh, we
she's very like, yeah, very down to earth, very like funny and witty. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Plus she has cool tattoos.
And I'm not going to say that I sent her a geography test for just such a purpose, but I may have sent her a geography test just to see how she does on that.
God, hopefully better than me. Hey, I did want to call out though. You mentioned that Stacy was our first Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
And some people might not know what that is.
Sure.
But we have a Patreon is like a way that you can support the show. So if you want to become like a patron of our show, you can sign up to give us $3 a month or $8 a month. And that just helps us cover the cost of like hosting all the episodes, the equipment that we buy, traveling to do interviews with cool people, and the equipment that requires. And it's just a great way to support Cast a Blast if you feel led to do so. Just go to our website.
Yeah.
Castandblastfl.com.
In the show notes of this, you can actually join it too. There's a link to Patreon.
Yep.
And you become a patron.
You can do
$3, but you can select any increment really. We have patrons that give us $10 or $15 a month.
Really?
Yeah. So you can go above and beyond if you want to.
Angels.
And Emily teased it last week, but we didn't say it well. We are actually going to start a Patreon book club. So that's going to be starting probably in October. We'll select the book. We're going to send that out to our patrons and let them weigh in on what they want to do. And we'll be meeting once a month over Zoom.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Nice. So it's a cool little benefit.
Nice.
If Nate can figure out how to read and can pull himself away from the wilderness, he may even join us for that. I can't describe the look on his face right then.
He can do a Zoom call from a cell phone.
But
on
he
the
owned
tree
it.
Stand.
Nate owned it because he knows.
I know I can't read. Yeah.
No, I just remember as a kid, like you hated reading. It wasn't until you got outdoor books. Like,
he's very well read now, though.
Well, I mean, yeah. And I read things that I enjoy. Like, I didn't like being made to read.
Right.
So, like, school books and stuff like that, I just didn't care anything about. And I still, to this day, like, if I have something coming up that I have to read something, it's still, like, not enjoyable to me. But I am more well-read now because I, you know, pick up stuff that I'm interested in and want to read, and I enjoy it a little more. So.
That's awesome.
Do you know what it's time for?
Keep and Release.
Keep and Release, brought to you by...
Two Fish Creative.
If you need a solution with software, gosh, I have so much trouble saying this and reading this ad. If you need a software solution for your business, if you need a technology solution for your business, call Two Fish Creative. Longtime listener, friend of the show, Carrie Bible, info@two.fish, which is probably the coolest domain in the history of the world. Am I right?
You're right.
They don't have a song because Emily refuses to write one because she wants it to be a rap.
I have written three and they all got vetoed because some people don't feel comfortable with me rapping.
And also we had to censor them because you thought they had to be like gangster rap.
No.
It was all bleeped out. The ad was entirely bleeped.
There's not a lot that rhymes with fish.
If you need any kind of user interface, project management, software management, Active Directory, any kind of integration, stuff like that, give Carrie and Company a call. Info@2.fish. Nate, since you haven't done this in so long, if you don't remember, what is your release?
My release is the fact that I'm batting 1,000 spooking deer so far this season.
Is that what deer blowing 1,000 means?
Yes. So when a deer is spooked, they will, like, what they call blow at you. It's just like a type of thing, and it's very loud and it scares everything else in the woods off. Scares everything. And I had a deer blow at me like 15 times on Sunday when we were supposed to record. I was sitting there. That's my punishment for not recording.
No, I prayed for that to happen, just FYI.
Right, yeah. Yeah. And there was no reason for her to be standing there blowing at me 15 times. And there were other deer around her that were like chill. They were cool. They didn't care. They were just like eating, feeding, walking, whatever. If I had a clear shot at her, I would have shot her for doing that because it's just annoying.
Wow.
But Saturday morning, I like got down from my stand and went to go check a camera, pulled the card and was flipping through. And about 2 minutes before I walked up to my camera, there was a buck walking across, running in front of my camera. So I spooked that deer. And then I walk back to my tree stand to get my stuff and walk out. And as I'm walking back to the tree stand, a deer blows at me. So it's just been, I'm like 3 for 3 with spooking deer so far this year. It's been a good time so far. Mm. So
listen,
I'm hoping things get better.
Should we get you like a hunting mentor? Like someone that can work with you and like teach you some of the basics on slipping through the woods and.
Yeah. It'd probably be good to go back to the basics and refresh a little bit.
Oh, my gosh. No, that's a good release. And what is your release?
I'm releasing Stacey Whittem.
Really? Feeling a little threatened, huh?
Here's why. Because when you're on a team and you know you're good at something and you don't come and be like, hey, guys, I got this one, that's not cool. And she was so good in that segment. She years ago, Stacey, you should have come to us and been like, hey guys, I got this. I'm enjoying the podcast. I got stories. I can cook. I have recipes. Girl, where have you been? So good.
She's got a donut tattoo.
Yeah. I just want you to come on the show more. I think that would be so fun.
You just want solidarity.
Well, I just like her.
Okay. But you're releasing her.
Yes, because she hasn't pushed her way into our lives enough.
Okay, that's fair.
Is that good?
Sure. I think Emily and Nate, it's funny, Emily and Nate hate doing releases and I love doing releases. I hate doing keeps.
Because me and Nate aren't natural complainers and you complain about everything.
I'm just a savage. Speaking of that, here's my release.
Here we go.
It's like you guys don't even want me on the show anymore. You don't even ask me, what's your release, Travis? What's your keep? What's new?
You're going to tell us
anyway.
It doesn't
matter. You're going to tell us, right?
Exactly.
Y'all ain't going to love this one. My release is this, and it's I'll be quick, but I'm going to be careful. And that is the hypocrisy of the conservation crowd. And what I mean by that is there was a conversation that took place this week on a Facebook thread, and it was a former conservation, a big conservation org board member, and he posted about elk numbers, and then he posted about wolf management using those elk numbers. And kind of all the names that we're all familiar with in the Western crowd, the conservation groups, joined in and kind of all joined together. And someone, it was actually Jesse Duble, I don't mind saying this, Jesse Duble came on from New Mexico Wildlife Federation and said, guys, this is kind of an echo chamber. You know, we all believe in the North American model. We all believe in this and we all believe in this. Here's my problem. And I went and asked this question, but I feel like we need to be doing this a little bit more and respectfully. But I asked this question. If we believe in the North American model and it was codified and put together by Valerius Geist, and anything you listen to with Valerius Geist or read for Valerius Geist talks about wolf management, I feel like there's a hypocrisy inherent in these conversations where we like to say, I believe in the North American model and I support this thing that's contrary to the North American model. Or I believe in science, but I also support this thing that's contrary to this lead scientist on this thing. And we do this a lot. I'll go back to the Sitka post a few weeks back. And I love Sitka. I'm a Sitka guy, huge Sitka fan. But there was the Sitka caribou post about drilling in Anwar. We can argue about should we be drilling for oil or not. That's a different conversation. But when you take a stand on a position like that and you're not informed enough to speak well about it, it reeks of hypocrisy. You may be right, but you lose something in an authenticity in that conversation, and it drives me crazy to my core. And I don't understand why we don't push back on that better and have hard conversations. It's like we don't want to have hard conversations because we're embarrassed that our friends aren't going to like us anymore, or the conservation community is going to turn their nose up at us or whatever. And I'm just telling you, we're not going to get better if we can't have some of those hard conversations. My release is that hypocrisy and the fact that we can't have them. End rant.
Good. No, you're absolutely right. And we do this on all kind of issues, not even just like, I mean, it's just like we do it on like products and we do it on, we just can't agree on anything. So it's, I'm with you.
No, and we do it, and we also do it to where we lead to, just, I'm belaboring
major division.
Yes,
like major division, and it's gonna hurt us in the long run, for sure.
Well, and I'll say it this way, Nate, and I think this is really touchy ground, but like growing up in church, you learned kind of to not question some things. And we've kind of outgrown that and begin to question things as we've gotten older as Christians, right? Like you do question things and you figure out how faith fits into it and everything else. But I don't want to draw too much into that, but I want to say sometimes when you're talking about science and conservation, there's a lot of factual science. It's not a lot of, you get what I'm going?
There's not a lot of faith there. It's more fact.
Right. And
right.
Sometimes we talk about stuff and we can't answer the simplest question or take the simplest pushback that's even a really respectful pushback. Dude, you got some problems with where you're coming from as a position of authority, right? if that's the case.
Right.
So, sorry. You can tune back in now.
I was listening to everything you said.
I know. I believe you. There'll be a quiz. What? I'm going to let you go first on keeps, Emily.
My keep is just, I just wrote this after a really hard day at work, but it's like, my keep is just working with people that you really like. I am so freaking lucky. This is the third job in my career where I just work with people that I freaking like. And yeah, not only at my job, but like in the podcast. So,
I've worked with you at two jobs.
Yeah.
And not at two jobs.
Yeah.
So did you not like me at one of the jobs
no,
that I worked
you
with?
You were on the good list at every job that we had together.
Okay, just checking.
But anyway, I don't know. Sometimes it's nice to stop and reflect on the things you're grateful for. And today that was my thing.
Nate?
So my keep is a probably temporary keep. It is a
it may
a
be
TikTok
obsolete
account.
By the time this drops.
That's what I'm saying. It's a temporary keep. It's a TikTok account called Old Time Hockey. And I just want you to like listen to his voice real quick. I'm gonna put it up to the mic. Just listen to the voice.
Absolutely, buddy. Let's go fishing. To find your neighborhood Applebee's, look for cold, dark water with some cover, like these lily pads. Nah, 76 Fahrenheit. Thank you, Sergey. Holy wah, this one's as heavy as Aunt Martha's pound cake. I'm Fritz, buddy. We'll name you Bubba.
What?
Well, look who it is. Bogard. Good to see you, old friend.
He's talking about fish that he's catching, by the way.
Cast your line by it. Nice catch, buddy. We'll name him Andreon. Adios. Let's catch some fish with some kernel corn.
So, like, if you just want, like, a break from the world and, like, just want to, like, be in a serene, like, northern, I don't know if he's Michigan or Minnesota or some kind of lake, catching little dink bass and naming them weird names and listening to that voice, then just go follow this guy.
That would
and
put
just, like,
me
spend
to
some
sleep.
Time. Yeah, just spend some time relaxing. And he's like a kayak fisherman, and it's really good. Just go check him out. It's
old,
very old time hockey.
Hockey.
H-A-W-E-K-Y or K-E-Y.
Nate, Travis wrote on the whiteboard, old timey Hawkins.
I thought it was a gun.
Old timey Hawkins.
I thought it was about a gun, honestly.
Nope.
That's what's up
TikTok
there.
TikTok account.
All right. I get to go last.
What's your keep, Travis?
Thank you, Nathan, for asking. I appreciate
just
that.
Trying to keep my spot.
My keep is what's coming. And like we've had some great podcasts and some great interviews, but I'm telling y'all, I'm looking at the fall and it's going to get crazazel beans. And that's the word I'm using. I'm choosing to keep that word.
Crazazel beans.
Crazazel beans. Listen, all right. We're not interviewing one. We're interviewing two of the top python hunters in the state.
Dude.
Both female python hunters. One of them was the all-time catch record holder for several years for FWC's program.
Nice.
We are interviewing Landon Blankenship, official taxidermist of the
sweet.
Show.
Nice.
We interviewed him a couple years ago and the sound was really bad. And I'm like, we got to do this again and get it, you know, on record.
Right.
We are interviewing Phil Lavretsky, who is he's the mallard duck genetic expert in the United States. And he's going to put to rest the "Do you even modeled bro" conversation.
Yes. Can we get him? He's got to say that, right? We've got to get him to say that.
Okay. I'll put that into
at some
the,
point in the interview.
Into the
if
interview
you can
notes.
Make that happen. Then
you can go to, if you want to research him, you can go to Lavretsky Lab. It's LAV as in Victor, RETSKY lab.com. And you can see all of his research with black ducks and hybrids. And y'all are going to be shocked by what you learned from that interview. I've listened to a couple interviews with him and I've been blown away. I'm like, I know nothing about ducks. Like, I'm an idiot about ducks at this point. We also got coming up soon a interview with a fish veterinarian, Dr. Ruth Francis Floyd from the University of Florida. We're going to talk all about fish lesions and their causes because it's a big hot topic around spraying.
Big topic. Yep.
And we have an interview coming up with a limnologist. Do you know what a limnologist is, Nate?
I do not.
That is a lake scientist. They study the ecology of a lake. And so we've got an interview with one of those coming up. Dude, I'm just telling you, I'm really proud of...
Stacked.
It is stacked out the wazoo, and it's going to be an awesome fall. And we've got some really fun podcasts coming up for our Tuesday show. The first one I'm going to tease that we got coming soon is Dig Duck Dynasty, Ruin Duck Hunting. We're going to solve that riddle once and for all. So...
Emily's so I'm upset. Already so annoyed by that episode. I just want to punch myself in the face.
Do you know what you could do instead?
It's going to be a barn burner.
Do you know what you could do instead?
Stay woke.
Thanks for listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. Our theme song is Citrus, sung by the band Trail Diver. Florida boys rocking out in the house. As always, we appreciate you guys listening to our show every week. Make sure to tell a friend or loved one or even your worst enemy about our show and try to get them to listen. Maybe it'll bridge a gap and heal old wounds. Thank you guys again, and we will see y'all next week.